Well, good morning to all of you. It's wonderful to be here this morning, wonderful to study the Word of God with you, and I pray that as a result of our study, our time in the Word, we will all be benefited and blessed, and we will become more like Christ as a result. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27, Solomon offers us this simple statement: a lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. The precious possession of a man is diligence. I don't know about you. Actually, I'm going to guess this about you, that you're like me. I think in a movie, everybody loves a good training montage. You know what I'm talking about? It's that scene in the movie where the hero in the movie finally decides that something needs to be done about the villain, and so he's going to get ready, or she's going to get ready for that ultimate showdown with the evil person. And so they are full of resolve and full of determination, and over the course of a minute or so, you see several clips of them working out, exercising, training, getting ready, honing their skills for that ultimate showdown with the villain. I think everybody loves a good training montage. You might remember this one from the movie Mulan, right, where Commander Li Shang tells his men, Mulan and her comrades, that he's going to make a man out of them, right? And so they sit there, and for a minute you listen to that song, and they're training and doing all their stuff, getting ready for their showdown with the villain whose name I did not put in my notes and that I have forgotten. Or maybe you remember a montage from one of the Rocky movies, right, where he climbs the steps in that one movie, or when he's getting ready to fight Ivan Drago in Rocky IV, and there's that great music, and Rocky is training, and I'm not going to put a picture of him shirtless up there. He's fully clothed in this one, but he hones his skills, right? He gets ready for the battle, gets ready for the fight. I think it's easy to like a good training montage. But there is a problem with that whole trope. Because in those scenes, months and months, maybe even years of training, are condensed into just like a minute of time. And all of the growth that you see, all of the progress that they seem to make, it all seems to happen instantaneously. And beyond all of that, the quality, the human quality, the attribute that's really emphasized in those moments is the quality of resolve or determination. In other words, they're going to get this done because they're trying really hard and they want to do it. And what you often miss in those scenes is the necessity and the value of diligence. Rocky is going to train, and he's going to fight, and he's going to win against Ivan Drago because he has lots of resolve and lots of determination, because he has the eye of the tiger, not because he has the diligence of an ant. And so sometimes in those moments, we overlook how important diligence is. Diligence. It is defined as careful and persistent effort. The diligent person is somebody who is attentive to their duties. It is the quality of a person that they are consistently, they are always, they are steadily pushing forward day after day. It is the quality of mankind that a training montage cannot possibly capture, because it is boring and it is monotonous. It is putting in the work day after day after day, long after that fiery determination has worn off. Diligence. It's careful, consistent, persistent effort. In spiritual terms, diligence is walking with God day by day, even after that new convert zeal wears off. Diligence is praying to God continually, even when you don't want to and you feel totally spiritually dry. Diligence is reading the scriptures and studying your Bible, even when you feel like it accomplishes nothing. Diligence is loving other people in your wife, your other people in your life, whether that's your kids or your wife or your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even if they have no intention of loving you back or things never seem to be getting better, you keep loving them in spite of that. Diligence is spreading the gospel as much as you possibly can, even when it feels like nobody is listening. Diligence is following all the way through and always applying that steady pressure, even when you don't see the results right away. And according to Solomon in Proverbs chapter 12, diligence is the precious possession of a man. He tells us in Proverbs 12 and verse 27, he tells us a tiny little story. Did you notice that? He says, a lazy man does not roast his prey. And so he tells us this story about a hunter, somebody who has all the skills to kill an animal and all the weapons that he needs to kill an animal, somebody who gets up in the morning, goes out into the woods, and actually kills the animal. But what does he not do? He does not have the determination or the resolve. He does not have the consistency or the persistency to actually roast what he kills. And so ultimately, all of his effort is wasted because he was not diligent. The precious possession of a man is diligence. That steady and consistent effort, day in and day out. This year, our theme as a church family is finishing what was started. And that's what we want to do. We want to be the kind of people who follow through. We want to be the kind of people who roast what we kill. We want to finish what we started. And I contend this morning that if we are going to be able to finish what we started, then we're going to need this precious quality. We are going to need this precious possession of diligence. And so the question becomes, what must we do to become diligent people? What do we need to know? What do we need to remember to make sure that we are those kind of people that follow through and apply that steady effort? And I got to tell you, there's really no mystery about diligence. You know, it's not very complex or complicated. It means keep doing the right thing no matter what. Keep applying that steady pressure. That's not hard to understand. But you know what it is? It's really hard to put into practice, isn't it? We know what it means to be diligent. We know what it takes to be diligent. But sometimes we struggle to actually follow through and live that way. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to give you three Bible truths. Three Bible truths to remember that hopefully will inspire you and help you to be more diligent. And the first one is this. First of all, perhaps we will choose to be more diligent, and we will choose to apply that steady effort day in and day out if we remember that diligence ultimately is the key to growth. Diligence is the key to change. Diligence is the key to spiritual transformation. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Go ahead and turn there with me and consider what Peter writes there. An old friend of mine used to say very often that there is a reason why it's called the Christian walk. There's a reason why it's not called the Christian run or the Christian sprint or the Christian light jog. There is a reason why it's called the Christian walk, because that's how we make progress as Christians. We make progress slowly and steadily, one step at a time, diligently. And I would contend with you this morning that even nature itself teaches us that the way that real growth happens, the way that people end up flourishing, the way that anything ends up flourishing, is by diligence, is by having that steady, consistent effort. Think about how that works with plants. I had to look this up. The average tomato plant requires 1 to 2 inches of water every week. Jim Harbaugh can check me on that later, but that's what I looked up and that's what it said. It requires 1 to 2 inches of water every single week. And so if you want to see that tomato plant flourish, what do? You give it 1 to 2 inches of water every single week. You know what does not work? Taking 3 gallons of water, dumping it all on the tomato plant, and then leaving it for 3 months. Does that work? It doesn't. It doesn't. No, even though the amount of water may be the same or the amount of water may be more, it's not going to work, because what it needs to grow and flourish is steady, consistent watering. It needs diligence. And we are the same way, brothers and sisters. that the way we grow is not by drenching ourselves in spiritual things every once in a while, but by every single day, day in and day out, applying that steady pressure, that consistent pressure. This is what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love." And so this is one of those famous growth passages in the Bible. It talks about all these things that we need to add to our faith. But I want you to appreciate that he doesn't say we need to add diligence to our faith. In fact, he treats diligence very different, doesn't he? In fact, diligence is what helps us add all these things to our faith. We add all these things to our faith diligently. And so we add virtue to our faith by being diligent. And we add knowledge to our faith by being diligent. And we add self-control to our faith by being diligent. That's how we grow. That's how we add these things. By applying that constant, consistent pressure day in and day out. Understand, brothers and sisters, that you are never going to be transformed into a knowledgeable, self-controlled, super-loving Christian in a moment of time. At the end of one worship service, or even at the end of one really good week of FC camp. To become that kind of Christian, the kind that Peter talks about here in this chapter, it requires years of steady attention and careful progress. Peter would conclude these thoughts. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 8. He says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." Understand what he says there. He says that the way that we grow is by diligence. And when we are growing, we ensure that we will gain entrance into the heavenly kingdom of God. Not only is this the key to growth, but for the Christian, it becomes the key to the kingdom. Our willingness to be diligent and put in that effort to make spiritual progress day in and day out, never neglecting ourselves. Never letting too much time go by without giving attention to spiritual things and the state of our soul. But sometimes we aren't diligent. And sometimes that's exactly what we try to do. We try to grow without diligence, without putting in that consistent effort. And we tell ourselves sometimes that what's going to happen is I'm going to grow because I show up to services every single Sunday and the rest of the week I don't really pay attention to myself, but I'll grow because I'm here on Sunday. I might not grow as fast as other people, but I'll grow. I'm not sure about that. And sometimes we tell ourselves that we're going to make up for the fact that we've neglected spiritual things by drenching ourselves in spiritual things every once in a while. Have you ever done something like this? You know, my prayer habit hasn't been quite good. I don't really feel like I'm connected to God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make up for that. I'm going to catch up on my prayer habit. And so this Saturday, I'm going to spend 6 hours in prayer to God. And so I'm going to make up for all that time that I missed. It's not a bad thing. But you really think you're going to grow that way? You really think that's going to change everything and get you back on the right path? I knew one man. He was a very good, well-meaning man, but he came to me one day and he said, "Okay, hey, I want you to come over to my house on Saturday. I'm inviting a bunch of guys over. We really haven't been studying the Bible the way we need to, so what we're going to do is this Saturday, we're going to read through the entire New Testament." And I think they made it to Acts. I mean, that's a big task if you've ever tried to do that. Is that a bad thing? It's not a bad thing. But brothers and sisters, that's not how growth happens. You don't grow spiritually by sitting down one day for 6 hours trying to read through the entire New Testament. That's not how growth happens. Growth happens with diligence, steady, consistent effort day after day. And so maybe we will be more diligent if we remember that diligence is the key to spiritual growth. And allow me to say this secondly. Maybe we will remember to be more diligent. We will decide to be more diligent if we remember that without diligence, we will always be unprepared. Without diligence, we will always be unprepared. I want you to go ahead and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 14, and we're going to read there in just one second. A few weeks back, I was in Louisville, Kentucky, and I was doing a gospel meeting there. And in that meeting at one point, I was teaching a Bible class, and I talked about that famous line in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus says, "For what will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul?" And we made the point that there's nothing you could get, nothing you could gain that could be possibly worth giving up your soul. And yet we went on to make the point that even though that's true, people do sell their souls all the time. You've seen that, haven't you? People sell their souls in order to gain some earthly thing all the time. And so I asked the follow-up question. Even though people know the value of their soul, and they know that their eternity is worth far more than anything they might gain on this earth, why do Christians still sell their souls? And among many other answers that were peppered at me, one of the best ones was this. One man said, "Sometimes Christians sell their souls because we haven't prepared ourselves to choose Jesus." I thought that was a terrific answer, don't you? We have not prepared ourselves to choose Jesus. And one thing that I think we often fail to appreciate is that choosing righteousness, choosing to pick Jesus, choosing to not sell our soul, that's not something that just requires determination and resolve. That requires preparation. It requires diligence. Too often we lean on sheer human determination and we tell ourselves, "I'm going to make the right choice in that moment because I want to and I'm determined to and I've decided that I'm going to make the right choice." And like Dr. Phil would say, "How's that working for you?" I don't know about you, but I've learned too many times in my life that that does not work. And that's exactly what the disciples learned in Mark chapter 14. Before this, they've told Jesus, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. I'm not going to run away with you. I will stand with you." But listen to what happens in Mark 14, beginning in verse 35. "And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.' And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners.'" And ultimately, Judas shows up, and when Jesus is arrested and he is taken captive, all of his disciples flee into the night. None of them stand with him. None of them are willing to die with him. All of them are ultimately unprepared. And I have to imagine, brothers and sisters, that part of the reason for that, if not the biggest reason for that, is that while Jesus told them to stay awake and pray that they may not enter into temptation, all of them decided to sleep instead. They were not prepared. We need to understand that if we are going to prepare ourselves for the tests that lie ahead of us, like the apostles, we need to prepare for that. We need to be diligent to prepare ourselves for that. Because in that moment, sheer human determination is not going to be enough. We learned that also. I'm not going to read the whole thing this morning, but you might want to read this afternoon the parable of the virgins in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 14, in which is emphasized the importance of prudence, the importance of diligence, the importance of being prepared, because you had 5 that were prudent and you had 5 that were not. 5 that were wise because they were prepared and they brought extra oil. And when the moment came, when the critical moment came, 5 were away in the marketplace buying more and 5 were ready for the bridegroom to come. We cannot lean on our resolve. We must prepare ourselves to choose Jesus in those moments. I think sometimes when it comes to spiritual growth, we lack urgency. I think sometimes we tell ourselves things like this. You know, I know that I need to grow, and I know I'm never going to become perfect, and I'm never going to be like Jesus, and I know that He wants me to grow, but at the end of the day, I know that I'm never going to reach perfection. I'm not going to be a perfectly loving Christian. I'm not going to be a perfectly self-controlled Christian. So what's the rush, right? Why do I need to hurry up and start working on this right now? Because I know I'm never going to get to perfection, and so why can't I just wait a little bit and get to it when I get to it? Sometimes when it comes to growth, we lack urgency. And so sometimes we say, I know I have to be more self-controlled, but I'll get to that eventually. Or sometimes we say, I know I need to learn to love my brothers and sisters better, but you know, I'm going to stay bitter for now, and I'll get to that eventually. Sometimes we say, I know I need to know the Bible better and pray better, but I'll get to that eventually when I'm not so busy. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's where you are when it comes to church attendance. I know I need to come back. I know I need to assemble with the saints. I know it's not good enough for me to just stay at home and watch this on TV, but you know what? I'll get to that eventually. Sometimes we lack that sense of urgency. But brothers and sisters, if we learn anything from the apostles here in Mark chapter 14, we learn this, that there are going to be trials that come. There are going to be tests that come. There are going to be temptations that we face. And if we have not prepared ourselves for them, we are going to collapse. We are going to fail. We are not going to make it. In those moments of temptation, whether we stand or whether we crumble will not be determined by your resolve. It will be determined by whether or not we have prepared our souls for that moment. Consider this with me thirdly. Without diligence, we'll always be unprepared, but also I want you to appreciate and remember that diligence is the only way to fulfill your God-given purpose on this earth. One of the most wonderful and reassuring things about life as a human being is to know that God has a purpose for every single one of us, that every single one of us have value, and that God has something to do with all of us. God can use every single one of us. God didn't make any junk. Every single one of you have talents and abilities and wonderful things that you can use in the kingdom, that you can use for heavenly purposes. God intends that all of us will be able to do great things with our lives. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 2. Go there with me very quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul writes this about those who have been saved. He says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." There are good works that God has prepared for you and for me, good things that He intends for us to do. Paul would say the same thing to the Philippians in Philippians 1 verse 6. He talks about how God began a good work in them, and he is sure that God is going to bring that to completion. That is true for every single one of us, that we matter. We are somebody. That we are capable, we are powerful, and we can make a difference in this world. But still, I want you to appreciate that the only way you're going to fulfill your God-given purpose is not through determination or resolve. It is through diligence. It is by choosing day in and day out to focus on the state of your soul. By choosing day in and day out to apply that steady, consistent pressure to try to get better each and every day. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 1, verse 8. I'll put this up here for you. He says, If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the way that you ultimately bear fruit, the way that you become useful in the kingdom, is by applying diligence and diligently trying to grow and increase and become better than you were before. You need to understand, brothers and sisters, that the only way you're ever going to be the person God wants you to be is by focusing on your spiritual life day in and day out with that consistent, persistent effort. We want to be the kind of people who finish what has been started. And God has started something wonderful in us. I want you to appreciate that the only way you're going to finish that is if you choose to be diligent. We must be the kind of people who choose to care for our spiritual well-being with steady, consistent, constant attention. That is the key to spiritual growth. That is the only way that we're going to be prepared for the test and trials in this life. And that is the only way that we're going to fulfill God's purpose for us. We must devote ourselves to diligence. And I want you to appreciate this morning that that's something that our Lord and our Savior did himself while he was here on the earth. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, the final words of Jesus are, "It is finished." And our Lord is able to say that because he was given a life here on this earth. He was given a job to do. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to die on that cross to redeem us from our sins, to open up a door back to God. And because he had lived a perfect life, and because he had done his work and fulfilled his ministry and done all the work that God had given him to do, when he died on that cross, he was able to say, "It is finished." He was diligent. Let us choose this morning to be like our Lord. Let us choose to set ourselves daily to the work that God has given us, so that by the time we get to the end of our life, we can look at what we have done for God and we can say it is finished. Of course, it's important to understand that all of the work that we do, whatever work we do for God, none of it matters. None of it matters without the gift of Jesus and his blood. The only reason we can do anything is because Jesus and his blood have cleansed us from our sins, have made us into a new man, have made us acceptable in the eyes of God. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize that you want to work for God and you want to be diligent and you want to change your life, but you have not taken that first step. You have not had your sins washed away. We can help you with that this morning. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that if you're willing to repent of your sins that caused him to go to the cross, if you're willing to confess your belief before men, then you can be baptized in water to have your sins washed away. You can rise to walk in newness of life and have for the rest of your life the hope that you will be able to spend eternity with him. If we can help you do that, or we can help you with anything else, we invite you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing.